Fred Film Radio.
Francesca Raffi for Fred Film Radio. Today we are going to talk about accessibility and training, and more precisely we're going to know more about a European project whose aim is to train real-time subtitlers across Europe, the Live Text Access Project. So to know more about this, we have virtually with us today the project coordinator, Rocío Bernabé-Caro, deputy head of the Professional College of Translation and Interpreting of the SDI in Munich in Germany, and tenured lecturer at the SDI University of Applied Languages. She's also a member of the Transmedia Catalonia Research Group. And we also have with us today Pilar Orero, one of the partners of the project, full professor of audiovisual translation at the Universitat Autonoma de Barcelona, where she also leads the Transmedia Catalonia Research Group. Rocío and Pilar, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
So I understand that you share various research interests and activities. So Transmedia Catalonia, the LTA project.
Could you please tell us more about yourselves? Rocío, how did you become so involved in media accessibility?
Well, I actually studied translation a long time ago in Spain. Mm-hmm. And 5 years ago, I decided to do a master's degree in accessible technology, documents and applications. And that's actually how I got to meet Pilar. We had a common business partner or friend, and he got us together. And I was interested in doing a PhD as well in the field of audiovisual mm-hmm. translation in Easy to Read. And since she's really the person in Europe who knows most about everything in audiovisual translation,
you're right.
I was so lucky to meet her. And that's actually how we started working together.
Yeah, Pilar, your works are some of the most widely cited publications in the field of media accessibility, of which you are one of the founding scholars. So why did you decide to deal with media accessibility issues, Pilar?
It all started with me being a translator. I used to live in Manchester, and mm-hmm. I was translating for the BBC and a private channel called Granada Television. And from there on, I started working in as a translator for them, for television mm-hmm. only. Then I worked for 7 years in Spain, being a ghost writer for a TV program.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I used to be 7 years writing, ghosting.
Wow.
One of the most popular programs in television in Spain. Mm-hmm. And then I took that from just a paying job into the university as one of the specialities. And then the issue came up with the subtitles and then subtitles for the deaf. And then, you know, mm-hmm. that's where we are. We just trying to incorporate. This is something that's very typical from the research group that I no longer lead, that is now Anna Matamala is the leader, that we try to bring into the university industrial processes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, because the university is always behind what is in technology. So it was subtitling, then subtitling for the deaf, then audio description, and then Rocío brought something that we were very far away at the university, and that was Easy to Read. And she specialized in that. And I thought, wow, this is a fantastic service that we haven't started implementing and studying properly in universities. So in fact, she's the first university. There is someone in Germany working in Easy to Read, mm-hmm. but not as an accessibility service.
Service, uh-huh, okay.
Just as a linguistic process.
Mm-hmm.
Rocío is the first person in the world that I know.
Wow, that's great.
She's fantastic because she's made the connection between Easy to Read and, as a different linguistic language, perhaps, mm-hmm. and Easy to Read as an accessibility service that also can be applied to subtitling, audio description, and anything that you can write or hear after being written.
And then now you are currently working together on the LTA project, which stands for Live Text Access, right?
Yeah.
Rocío, what is Live Text Access, first of all, and what are the main objectives of this project?
Well, our project is all about intralingual real-time subtitling about the provision of the service. I mean, the main aim of the project is to create training materials for training real-time intralingual subtitlers. The thing is, at the moment, the situation in Europe is like you have the situation, you have the legislation, you have the Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, you have the Audiovisual Media Service Directive, the Accessibility Act, you have all this legislation triggering actually to provide services. So you see the market and you have the providers providing the services, the subtitling. You have the educational sector, which is actually creating training and training professionals. But we see you have the users as well, and the users are saying that the quality of the service that is being provided at the moment is not regular enough or good enough.
It's not
sometimes.
Good enough.
Yeah, so that's actually where we came into action, where we said, okay, so we can get together, bring the industry together, the service providers, bring the education as well in the project, and then create teaching materials for training good real-time intralingual subtitlers. And that's actually how everything started. And I must say, that wasn't my idea. Pilar has to take credit for this one. She was the one who started, initiated actually. Yes, it was you.
Okay, it was me, but you need a seed, and you planted the seed.
I submit it, that's true.
I mean, I would have never come up with the idea of easy to read subtitles or easy to listen or the description if it hadn't been because Rocío's MA dissertation was on easy to read, and that's true.
How can we define easy to read?
Well, easy to read is just a way of writing that is simplified. It's for people who don't really have access to information because it's written in a very complicated way. Complicated might be just because you're using specialized terminology or the sentences are far too complicated, far too long. So at the very second where you say, you know, this is too complicated, we want to make it easier, is where you start creating easy to understand content. Which can be plain language or easy to read. Actually, easy to read is a set of guidelines that tell you how to implement information, how to write it in order to make it easier to understand.
So the project will basically harmonize the professional profile of real-time subtitlers across Europe and create open source training materials. Is it correct?
Yes. We're an Erasmus project, and all the materials and documents that are created have to be open source and accessible for everybody.
Okay.
So that's one of the goals, of course. Yeah.
Pilar, when did the project start, and what is its duration and also its main steps in general?
Okay, the project started many months ago when we started writing it and thinking about it. So, in fact, many, many months ago, but the truth is that the project officially started the 1st of September last year, 2018, and it runs for 36 months. So, three years. The main steps are the logical steps. First of all, we have to understand how is it done across Europe?
Yeah.
Because Europe is a fantastic place with many languages. The languages have different categories. Some have minority languages and large languages, small languages, official languages. So, first of all, we have to understand how is it done. Is it done everywhere? Is it done the same everywhere? So you have to make a photograph of what's going on. Then once you understand that, then we're going to create something called skills. We're going to identify skills.
Okay.
And that is nice because it's like a coin. We have to produce, to be a trained person, you need to have these sort of skills. And these skills then can be applied to any language. Because if we say, you need to do this, and this is not good for that language or for that situation, then it's not very European. So it's a good idea to have skills rather than content. And once we have the skills defined, then we will generate content for the skills. And it would be like a very flexible way of generating content, a very flexible way to generate at the end of the day, if you want to, a course or a master's or a one-day course, because then you can pick up a little bit of skills or focused skills. So it's a very flexible.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. So there will be, I understand, different steps. And speaking of steps, I've here with me actually a short description of the project. And I see that on your agenda, there is the completion of, and I'm quoting, every intellectual output. This terminology is used in the Erasmus Plus program, right?
That's true.
Can you tell us more about this, Rocío?
Yeah, these intellectual outputs, they're just work packages. It's just the European, I don't know how they came up with this term. Intellectual outputs are just work packages. So as any other project, you have milestones and they are usually linked to the end of a work package. So you have, in our case, we have five. As Pilar was saying, they're building up on each other. The first thing you have to do is to see, to define what skills and competences do the real speakers and the velotypists, so those are the two profiles that we're working with, need to have to deliver good quality. So once we have that and we have the skills cards, that's actually like an, you can imagine, it's just like a table where all these skills are just put together, like making this picture Bila was talking about. Once, so that's the first intellectual output or work packet. Once we have that, we will move on creating and designing the curriculum. That's IO2 or intellectual output 2. And of course, the next step will be IO3, which is creating the materials. We're going to have open source materials. It's going to be digital. It's going to be, we'll have to see. I mean, we'll probably have everything from single documents up to videos and study cases.
So in various formats, let's say.
Right, yeah. Then we have work package 4 or intellectual output 4. That it's Barcelona is leading that one. We're going to create a pilot course to test it. We're Yeah. We think we have to get the users involved here again as one user-centered approach involving the users. We already have actually people interested in taking part in the pilot course. So they will be analyzing how good is the design, how good are the materials.
How many people will you have roughly?
I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see, I think, like 20 people, 25 people. Pilar, what do you say? What's a good number?
That's a good number. Yeah.
Something like that, because we have to cope with the amount of data we're
using. Yes, of course.
Well, so it has to be something like that. And our last intellectual output is certification. Certification, I mean, Pilar can say more about this. This certification work package starts started at the very first day, because we actually said we're not going to create something and say it's good just because we did it. We wanted to have an external quality partner who can really have an eye on keeping the quality high and say harmonized descriptions that are going to be turned into learning outcomes, into credits that can be used at the universities and ECTVS for vocational training. And of course, having a certification agency as a partner is a way of creating sustainability and visibility. It's not about just working together 3 years and delivering. It's about making sure that everybody can profit on the long run from the results. So that's our fifth intellectual output.
Very exciting and huge project. Well, we can say I understand from what you have just said that the LTA project sees accessibility like kind of fundamental human right, Pilar?
Well, it is. We live in a society where access to internet and access to media and audiovisual content, it's basic. If you want to do any, I don't know where you live, but if you want to do any paperwork or any democratic participation in society these days, it's done through internet. So if you don't have internet connection or if you don't have access to internet,
yes.
At universities we teach with audiovisual materials. We no longer teach with just a paper and a pen. So I think if people are not can't access to this content, then they are basically out of society. So they are excluded from society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not only my point of view, that's the United Nations point of view.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This one, I think, basically we have to integrate everybody. And everybody, most people can be integrated very easily, but some people can't because they have one problem or another.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have a finger to press the button to switch on your internet. Mm-hmm. Or you may have no internet connection, or you may be blind and don't have access to mm-hmm. the audiovisual. So there are many, many issues. Maybe you speak a different language for that spoken in the yeah. So I mean, if you put me in Japan, I can't read and I can't hear
mm-hmm.
because I don't understand.
No.
So me in Japan needs a hell of a lot of accessibility. So that's the issue. That we need to secure everybody can communicate, because communication to me is what differentiates us, you know, verbal communication from animals.
From animals, yeah, definitely.
We have to be able to communicate.
Yeah, yeah.
And visually with everyone. And otherwise it's solitude. That is horrible.
Yeah.
That's the idea. That we want us to communicate.
Very, very clear. Thank you very much, Rocío and Pilar. Thank you very much. This project is really exciting. The information generated will certainly improve not only real-time subtitling, but also more broadly the field of media accessibility, I think. So thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you very much to all of you. If you want to know more about the LTA project, stay with us and visit Fred's website, because we will be back soon with new guests who will tell us more about the LTA project. This is Francesca Raffi, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.